Hey, this is Kevin Weatherby of Say the Cowboy. I want you to toe that stirrup, throw a leg over the cantle, take a deep seat, and pull your hat down tight. I ain't gonna tolerate no whining or griping, so let's all strike a long trot down that narrow trail and learn how to ride with God. Come on! What you waiting on? Let's go.
Good morning, church.
Morning.
All right. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Mitch Gorman. I'm the outreach pastor for Save the Cowboy. It's been a blessing to watch Kevin on sabbatical. I got to talk with him last week and just see how refreshed he is and just how much fun he's been having on his break. He's still doing a lot of studying. He actually helped me get this sermon that I'm going to give ready today. I had a whole nother one prepared, but after talking to him, I felt the need to change it. But imagine that, but no, no, just been a crazy week. It's so funny when you know that you got to get up and speak on a Sunday, because I know what Kevin goes through, and like to give him the benefit of the doubt now, because when you got to speak on Sundays, you just feels like you get hit with 1,000 baseball bats throughout the week just to try to get you off course. So, yeah, just been a heck of a week in that. Thankful for Kevin. But if I wouldn't have that week, I wouldn't have went to him and talk to him. So, yeah. Anyways, I always say good morning, church, every time I get up here, just because I want to remind everybody that that we're the church. As a people, we're the church, right? Not these four walls that we're in. We ourselves are the church. Oop, that was loud.
Man down.
Man down. No. So, yeah, if you guys have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew 24 today. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we come to you this morning just so humble and so thankful. God, we feel urgent, Lord. We know that you're coming soon. We don't know when you're coming, but we feel urgent. God, as we go throughout this Sunday, this is going to be a hard message to give for myself, but also for maybe somebody else. Lord, I just pray that it's not a message of condemnation, but it's just a message of encouragement, because that's what it's supposed to be. Lord, thank you for all that you give us, all that you do for us. Just be with us throughout this Sunday. In your name we ask these things. Amen. So, thinking about my past life and just what goes with this sermon, I couldn't really come up with some stories until I talked to my mom, because she's got all kinds of good stories about me growing up. But I remember, how many of you guys worked for like your dad growing up? Per se. Yeah, a lot of hands in here. Yeah, come see me after. We got some childhood trauma we can bond over. No, I love my dad. But I always remember for those that don't know, I grew up in Southwest Kansas. My parents have feed yards there and stuff. So you're always working. You're just married to those things. You're always finding something to do or something like that. My dad's particular feed yard, one that I worked at the most, had just a bunch of lodgepole fence. And he would send me and usually whoever else was, another teenager was working with me that day, down to fix fence. And we'd always have the guy that we didn't like out on lookout. So when we saw him coming, we would act busy. So we didn't really actually get anything done, but we'd act busy. And just thinking of more stories like that, I can just remember too, when we were little, and pretty little, me and my sister, my mom would, I don't know if you can say this now, but she would leave us at home while she went to work. So you guys could call Child Protective Services if you'd like, but you just wait a minute. You'll really want to hear what I have to say next. No, she gave me permission to tell this story, but she would, every time that we would leave, or every time she would leave to go to work, she'd always leave us a list of things to do 10 miles long. And that's the one thing you really want to do as a kid, right? Is clean your room, clean the house, or whatever else. And so guess what? I mean, I don't know if anybody else is like that. Very rarely would we get her list done, or even one thing on the list done, until she pulled in the driveway. Now that was a different story. All right. We'd have stuff stuffed in closets. She'd open it, it'd be falling out. Like, I don't know, it was Dad. yeah. But just crazy things like that. Thinking about more things, just, you know, growing up, more stories. My dad would take us when we were, like, I always remember like the smell of like sand sage is unique to me. It just brings me back to my childhood. And like we'd be going out to brandings and things like that. And you never wanted to be the person that wouldn't show up with cattle, because that means you may have rode by one and you didn't do your job. So you'd always have this anxiety of missing something, like you didn't do your job. And I'm not really one for like current events or anything, but I don't know if anybody's paying attention to what's going on with Israel. But there's so much stuff happening over there, guys. It's crazy. Not only just Israel, the storms that are happening everywhere, the hurricanes that are happening, it is just absolutely insane. Not only just the hurricane, but the floodings that's happened in North Carolina and Tennessee. Number one, they just need your prayers right now. And we already, Joe, he got deployed from South Metro to go down there and help with it. And it's just crazy, just the world that we're living in, the earthquakes, the things that are happening, and it can't, I just couldn't help but thinking of Matthew 24 and thinking of all of this. And if you have your Bibles, I'll just start reading. And it says, well, I'll need to paint the picture a little bit for you. This is Matthew 24 is coming to the end of Jesus' life, right? So when he is preaching this message, he's a little bit urgent. He's a little bit urgent, and he's pretty forthcoming. He's pretty straightforward in what he's saying. He's not pulling any punches. Like, he's not just trying to beat around the bush and help you figure it out. Like, he's telling you what's going to happen. And I'm just prefacing this before I read it. Verse 1. As Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, his disciples pointed out to him the various temple buildings. But he responded, "Do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth, they will be completely demolished." And they are demolished. "Not one stone will be left on top of another." Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us when this will happen. What sign will signal your return in the end of the world?" Jesus told them, "Don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place. But the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. Then you'll be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You'll be hated all over the world because you're my disciples, you're my followers. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it. And then the end will come." It's pretty heavy stuff, right? As I was talking to Kevin, he asked a good question to me. Is that feedback pretty bad? You can get a little help with that. But Kevin asked the question to me, what if we're the strainer in all of this? Everybody's been through Kevin's end time stuff. Everybody remembers all the things that he preached about the rapture. We all know what's going to happen. If you don't, go back and listen. It's an amazing study that Kevin did. But he begged the question to me of, what if we're the strainer? What if we're the ones as Christians holding back the floodgates right now? Because what you think about this, let's paint the picture, right? We're all raptured. Also, if you're here next week and we're not, I'm sorry you missed it. All right, but think about it. We all get raptured up as Christians, right? We're believers. If you give your life to Christ, you're going to heaven. We're going to meet God halfway. He's going to take us to heaven. 7 years of tribulation, all the whole shebang, right? But let's paint the picture of like next week. Say the rapture happens this week. Not one single believer will be left on earth. Think about that. What if we're the strainer here? What if we're the ones holding back the floodgates? We're the only ones preaching any kind of truth right now, right? Living any kind of truth right now. What if we're it? What if we're it? That's just crazy to think about. That brings me to my next point. Jesus starts talking about more signs. Starting in verse 32. "Now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud, its leaves begin to sprout. You know that summer is near when that happens. In the same way, you will see all these things. You can know his return is very near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. However, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered the boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. The two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken, the other one left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day the Lord is coming. Understand this, if a homeowner knew exactly when the burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. What if we're it? We hear, you know, it's so crazy. We read all these Bible stories and we so wish we could have been there to see everything, right? What if we're the ones that see the rapture? We wish we could have seen all these things, all these miracles, but what if we're the ones that happens to, right? What a blessing that's going to be. Everybody knows that after the rapture, what is going to happen isn't good, right? We just know it's not going to be something you want to stick around for. What if we're the only person that can reach somebody to try to save them from that? I'm not saying we have the power to save people, but we sure can be a great avenue towards it. What if we're the ones? What if we're it? I don't know about you guys. What if we're it? A faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give responsibility of managing other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth. The master will put a servant in charge of all he owns. But if the servant is evil and thinks my master won't be back for a while and he begins beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk, the master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites in place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you're just probably sitting there saying, Mitch, you're just trying to scare us into following and loving Jesus. No, I didn't say it. Jesus said it. I'm just the messenger here today. I had a totally different message plan, but after talking to Kevin, what if we're it? I had to ask myself the question, if this is the last sermon I ever get to give to somebody, whether I'm raptured or I die, what's the one thing that I would tell you guys? Get saved.
Pronto.
Pronto, as Ty says. He also says moist. And when we get raptured, there'll be no more of that. There'll be no more of that weird, nasty, weird word. We can't take anything with us when we go, right? But we can try to take the ones we love. What are you doing today? What if we're it? What if we're the only person that can reach the person that you know that needs reached? What if we're it? There's some huge things that are going to happen prophetically this week, actually. It's what kind of begged this sermon. And I'm not saying that the rapture is going to happen this week. Kevin thinks it could, but I don't know. Says it could. It very well could. The signs are pointing. I wish I was smart enough to remember all of them, but October 2nd might be a big day. Just giving you a little thing to study if you want. But yeah, Kevin asked me the same question of what if this is the last sermon ever given at Save the Cowboy? What if this is the last time that we're all together at Save the Cowboy? Next time we see each other might be in heaven. What if that's the case? Now, no one knows the time or the day, but that doesn't matter to get this message across. It doesn't. What if we're it? And that brings me to my last point. I have a fourth point, and then I close, so we won't be going for an hour. But anyways, we should be urgent. Just as Jesus was urgent in this last time, he was trying to tell everybody that what's going to happen. What we should be urgent. And what does that mean? What does it mean to be urgent in this day and age where this very well could be the last Sunday that we're all together? What we should be urgent, but what does that mean? Now, whether we have 3 days, whether we have 6 months, whether we have a year, we should be urgent in everything that we do. God does not care what you do. He cares about who you are and to know him and make him known. I'm just going to tell you that right now. We get so caught up in all the things of this life that we forget that we're put on this earth for one mission, and that's to know God and to make him known. It doesn't matter what we do, whether the circumstances that we find ourselves in or put ourselves in, we're to make God known. That's I'm just going to tell you that right now. That's God's whole purpose. If you were coming here looking for God's purpose and God's will for our lives, that's it. I don't believe God's up there working us like a puppet. I don't. But I do believe he wants us to glorify him in everything that we do, and that's what he wants us to do, to know him and make him known throughout everybody. What if we're it? What if we're it? We should be urgent. And whether it's 3 days, 6 months, or a year, if it's 3 days, use your words. Start telling everybody. If it's 6 months, start cleaning the inside of your cup. For those of you that don't know what that means, it's a great parable to read. Great parable to read. Clean the inside of your cup. We don't always preach the gospel, but sometimes when we do with our actions, right? We may be the only sermon that someone ever reads or ever hears. It's just by how we live our lives. How are you doing it? How are you living your life? Are you getting caught up in lustful desires, your impulses, your addictions? If you need help with your addictions, get with me. I'll help you start the healing process. And if we got 6 months, if we got 3 days, call your mom, call your dad, call your sister. Make sure they're saved today. If you got six, if we make it past Tuesday, call me. What are we doing? What if we're it? What if this is it? Get saved. Pronto. One of the last points I have is, this is just another evident thing of us, but from creation to Abraham, there was 2,000 years. From Abraham to Jesus, there was 2,000 years. From Jesus to us, it's what? 2,000 years. Something miraculous happens every 2,000 years. Right? If you hear one thing, what is it? Get saved. What if we're it? In closing, I know you're saying that. Has this been a hard sermon to hear? I knew it was going to be a hard sermon. I wanted to be a happy, joyful, everybody funny, laugh at me type of sermon, and you could remember it. But what if this is the last sermon I ever get to give? What if it is? What if it is? I'm not trying to scare you into following Jesus. I'm not. I want you to know how incredibly special you guys are, and yet you're more special than you think you are. We are the church, just as I said in the opening. Good morning, church. We're the church. We're part of that ring of protection for people. And start taking your role seriously. Start cleaning the inside of your cup. Start taking it serious, guys, because it is serious. We don't just show up on a Sunday just to do our good deed for the week. No, that's not it. The reason that all of us went into ministry on leadership at Save the Cowboy isn't to get up here and look cool and preach sermons like that. It's because we have a love for people and we want to take as many people as we can when we go. Amen. Because we know what's coming. We don't want anybody. We don't want that for anybody. Why do you? And I know you don't, but maybe I just had to ask a question to get the answer. Do what you're called to do. The church isn't as effective if you're not doing your part. It's not. There's bigger things in life than the everyday things that we toil with. What if we're it? What if we're it? Give your life to Christ today, guys. Let's go to heaven together. Let's go to heaven together. We can't take anything with us when we go, but we may be able to take the ones that we love. The world changes when we change ourselves and when we start ministering to our families. I think it was Eleanor Roosevelt said that change happens in the home. It happens in your home. Whether it's with your words or with your actions, go reach somebody, guys. What if we're it? What if this is it? I know I keep saying that, but I want you to ask that question every single day of your life. Because this whole last week, I've been, while being hit from every single side with demonic attacks this week, I've just been asking myself the same question and just staying focused. And if there's one thing, you don't want to really have me as a role model, but if you can take one thing that I would pick that you would take, it would be to ask yourself that question of, what if we're it? What if this is the day? What if this is the day? What say you? Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we come to you just heartbroken, Lord. Everybody is and everybody needs you. God, this is a hard message. This isn't me up here spouting. This is straight from your word. God, if somebody wants to go back and read it, it's your word in Matthew 24. It's Revelations. It's all of it. God, give people the courage to turn to you, that you love them and that you want them to spend eternity with you. You love them that much that you were beaten and abused and spat on and tortured and died for all of us. It wasn't just you, some guy dying 2,000 years ago, Lord Jesus. It was you dying for us so we can have eternity with you. That way we wouldn't have to be separated from you forever, because you don't want that for anybody. Lord, give us the courage to reach the people who need to be reached. Give us the courage to clean the inside of our cup. It's hard to admit our faults, Lord, but when we do admit our faults and we ask you to come in and heal them, we become more like you. Lord, we thank you and we praise you so much.